So I'm going to give you an update of decisionally adjusted set points that we operate here. And I have spoken about this before in previous meetings. So some of the things I will not repeat. I will just touch upon. And if you want to, for people who haven't heard before, you can ask questions later. Because it's all based on the way we assess the performance of our environmental conditions in storage, and also the way the system, and also the, sorry, the a project that we ran 2007, no, it started, finished, anyway, finished 2 years ago, which was to create a computer model of the three big repositories in Q1. And we use the data we got from the model to inform the decisions we made on the seasonally adjusted set points. I'll just touch upon that for in a bit. So, well, I didn't know Paul is going to give you the full tour of the building, but that's what it is.
That's planning
And
for you.
yeah,
Right there.
so we have Q1, which is the old building, as we call it Q1, as Paul mentioned, which has the three big open repositories on second, third, and fourth floor. And then in Q2, the new building that we are now, that has 12 repositories that are arranged in the sort of L shape there, ABC, on ground floor, first floor, second and third floor. Yes. So 12 altogether. The work that we did with the computer model simulation was for Q1. Because it's the building that had the most problems with keeping a stable environment, and but then we've implemented the results across both Q1 and Q2. As I said, I have spoken about this before in this group and in other places, but a lot of the assessment that we do on whether the environment in the repositories is what we want is based on the concept of isotherms, and whether we increase the permanence of the collection or decrease the permanence of the collection. And we accept that at certain times of the year we increase it, and in others we decrease it, but we overall achieve a higher than one permanence one, and that is the target. The permanence one is arbitrary for those of you that are not familiar with the concept. Permanence one means that if it's meant to last 1,000 years, that's how it will last. And if you change the relative humidity and temperature set points, you may be accelerating sort of degradation. You're decreasing the permanence of it, but if you go the other way, you are increasing the permanence of it. What we aim to do is to, by all means, avoid the upper and lower limits that are catastrophic in the sense of mold growth at the high relative humidity, or sort of desiccation at the low relative humidity, not the very high temperature where we'll accelerate degradation to a degree that it's not acceptable because of the types of materials that we have here, or go really low. Although low, it would be good. We can't go below 16 because of the requirements of people working there in the repositories. So what we have tried to do is take full advantage of the whole range of how high we can go and how low we can go during the seasons, rather than stick with one set point for relative humidity and temperature for the whole year. It's a bit of a no-brainer the way I see it, and the way the facilities and states of facilities see it. It's not as straightforward to implement, and it took us a long time to get it working correctly. Plus, as I said, we use this a big research project that we ran with UCL to create a computer model simulation of the repositories in Q1, so we could test what we were planning to do in a safe way and see what results we would get before we started implementing anything. So at the moment, the new reincarnation of PS5454, PD5454, allows for a choice of set points of relative humidity and temperature within that little square. And in fact, even moving within that little square perhaps would have beneficial effects in terms of energy consumption. I think a lot of the times people just don't take advantage of this and just go for a set point for the whole year. The standard, neither BS554 or PD554 ever said that you can't change the set point during the year if you wish to. It says choose a set point between that range. And then around the set point, PD5454 allows a variation that covers this sort of dead band. And in fact, it is peculiar to see that even BS5454, which is considered quite strict and stringent with the recommendations, moves between two lines of permanence. So you are allowed to either be on permanence one or in fact, double the lifetime of your collection if you are on permanence two, by factor of two, if you are on permanence two. So you could be halving the lifetime or increasing it by a factor of two and still operate within BS5454. I don't know quite why and where this, you know, how it happened that people tend to choose the 50 plus minus five or the 18 plus minus one or two or whatever and not take full advantage of that. What we, however, are implementing here at the moment, and that's really to do with what we think it's achievable and acceptable for the type of materials that we hold here. We're quite lucky that 90% of our material is loose paper, so we could potentially push the range to higher or lower limits that other institutions, museum collections can do. But what we do here is choose a set point within that range throughout the year, and I'll show you how that changes over time, and then allow a dead band around it, so it, in effect our allowable fluctuation around the set points that cover that box. And as you can see, relatively to the dead band of the PS554, we still move across the same sort of width of permanence value. So we haven't shifted too much on one side or too much on the other side, although shifting towards this side would have been beneficial, but we're still within that sort of range. This is what we... If I was trying to sum everything up, and this is what we basically are trying to do. The red line represents the dew point that we would be achieving inside our repositories on a constant set point of temperature relative humidity throughout the year. It would have been a constant dew point. That's what we were trying to achieve on a set point for the whole year. And the blue line is the typical dew point for a whole year. Based on data that I got from the Met Office, and I think the nearest station is at Heathrow, so not very far from here. So that is a typical annual dew point. So basically what the system is trying to do is bring the outside dew point to the flat line dew point that we would want to achieve inside the repositories. And I consider the red arrows in between proportionally the amount of energy that would required in order to do that. What we're doing now is the dew point that we are trying to achieve is the green line, because it changes throughout the year, and then you can see the difference, the relative difference of the area that the red arrows cover in between the two. So we reduce the load on the system in trying to bring the external dew point to the levels of the internal dew point as set by our set points for the system. Note that the, I don't know if you can see very well, the green band, I'm not sure if you can, but it starts here and it ends there. The green band is the dew point that one would achieve if you choose any set point within the allowable set points that the BS554 recommends. So our set points are not actually outside that range at all. It would have been the same if we were, strictly speaking, applying BS5454 in here, but with a view of changing the set point seasonally throughout the year rather than having one set point for the whole time. Just as I said, we run the Building Environment Simulation Project, which was which developed a computer model of the repositories in Q1, And one of the scenarios we ran, which is one we implemented afterwards, was the seasonal set point. So for the seasonal set point, I produced a list of set points month by month, and we input them into the model, and we got out the permanence values that we would have achieved inside the repositories if we were to do that. I'm not going to go in more detail about the project. Some of you may have heard me talking about it before, but I can tell you more about it afterwards if you want. I just wanted to show you here that this is what the model predicted. The blue line, this is what happens in the repositories now since 2009. So 2009, 2010, we had a constant set point for our system. And in 2011, we started implementing a seasonal set point right about in April. So there was a dip in permanence in the summer, where conditions go warm and humid in the repositories, and then a rise in the winter when we allowed it to go cold and dry in there. And that's what the model had predicted before we started this work. So the black lines are three repositories with our set points as they were at the time, which was a constant set point. And the red line was the permanence of the environmental conditions in the repositories, as it would have been if we were implementing a seasonal set point as modeled by the computer simulation. So you can see that it's exactly what we are actually getting inside the space. We were confident that the model had an accuracy of about 0.5 to 2.5% error. So this is what we predicted, and this is what we achieved in the repositories. This is just one of the repositories in Q2, but this is happens across the rest of the repositories. The actual set points are in the graphs at the bottom there, and the dead bands around them. The dead bands also change seasonally, so it's not always a plus minus 5. Some months is plus minus 10, some months is plus minus 7.5, and so on. And the reason is because I try to avoid allowing a larger fluctuation the difficult months of the year. But the rest of the time, if it happens and the weather is unusually warm or cold, but it doesn't matter so much if the conditions are not at the set point that we want inside, then I don't necessarily demand that the system comes on and tries to keep it within a plus minus 5 band the whole time. And the reason for that is because, as I said, what is imperative is to avoid the events of mold growth in the repositories. And that happens for us, if it happens, it happens in around October. And that's because if we have a humid August and September, the moisture content of paper is up. And then if October happens to be warm, which like it was this year, then we get into the difficult areas of mold growth. So for October, as you can see, I have specified a much tighter dead band, simply to make sure that we're not gonna allow conditions to go warm inside the space and have problems if we happen to have a warm, humid summer before autumn. So the figures at the top are figures that Paul gave me, and I'm sure they have changed since, because I've taken the slide from an older presentation. But I think the main thing is the energy certificate and what we have achieved. And I'm not suggesting that the seasonal set point is the only contributor to that, because there was a lot of work that was done on the system itself. But from a collection care point of view, this is sort of our contribution in energy saving, and also providing an environment that is appropriate for our collections. In fact, the reason we decided to implement the scenario about seasonally adjusted set points, because according to the model, the overall permanence that we are achieving in the repositories is higher than we would have achieved with a constant set point for the whole year. Because what we lose over the couple of months in the summer, we make more so in the winter months, where we allow the repositories to be colder and drier. It did take quite a bit of work to produce this. simply because I didn't quite know at the time how the system operates. And so I had to go back and forward with the BMS engineer a few times. And I'll tell you what I wanted to specify to begin with is what is probably going to be our next steps. And Paul doesn't know about this because I only spoke to the engineer last week. I did have our RN certificates, but Paul stole my thunder for the 2012, but I did include 2011, so you can see the progression. And in terms of what's next, I think that now we have sort of figured out how we can do this safely and how we can adjust the set point safely. And we have a good working relationship with the BMS, which has also been the BMS engineer. The BMS has also been upgraded, so you can do a lot more things than it could before. Initially, my specifications for set points were meant to have different, not symmetrical dead band around the set point. So not only have an adjustable dead band every month, but have a different plus and a different minus every month. And that's because in the summer, if it's cold and temperature is cold in the repositories, I don't want the system to come on and raise the temperature to a plus minus 3 degrees from the set point, because cold is good, is fine. But the system can't do that, can't have a plus one and minus five in order to bring the system up. It has to have a symmetrical sort of dead band around the set point. So the set points ended up being what they are now because when I spoke to the BMS engineer, we decided to change the set point, adjust the set point so that we end up with a symmetrical dead band around it rather than change the dead band. So it's actually a lot smoother than what the actual graph of set points would have been, because we needed to take into consideration how the system operates. But I spoke to him last week, and we decided that, like Rob mentioned earlier, because the weather doesn't seem to always be what the typical year from the data from the Met Office that I got to produce the set points, we decided that the next step is probably trying to get external feedback that adjusts the set points automatically according to the dew point outside. So instead of, it may make a small difference, but it may be a worthwhile difference if we happen to have 2 months of really wet weather or really dry weather. So I'm not sure, again, I mean, this is all, I'm making up the terms and I'm making up what could happen, but potentially this is the next step for us. So adjust the set points seasonally with external feedback rather than on a set curve that I have produced from data that I got. But if we want to push it further than that, have asymmetric dead bands around the set points, and which is what was my initial thought, but as I said, it couldn't be implemented. However, from my conversation with Emma, with the BMS engineer, he said to me the other day that, yeah, you know, we're performing well and the system is doing what we wanted to do, but we're actually spending a lot at this time of the year, because we have a set point which is calculated from my figures. We need to dehumidify because the set point is now set quite low for humidity because it's winter, but actually it's not as dry outside. So we're really spending a lot of energy trying to dehumidify to reach the set point, which is fairly enough set low because it's now December. And he said, you know, it costs a lot more to dehumidify rather than to cool down the space. So obviously an asymmetric dead band could have solved that problem, but we can't do this. So I thought, and I discussed it with him, and we thought we're going to put some more thought into it and how that can be programmed into the BMS of, as I said, I made up the terms, I don't know what we're going to call it, but I call it a sensible variable adjusted set point with an energy efficiency override. So that is, say this is our, the blue dot is our set point for this month, and the blue square is the dead band around it. But I'm sure I can produce some calculations and say, well, if for say 50% of the time we are at the top half of that dead band, I'd rather not push the system to dehumidify in order to bring it down to the set point and allow it to drift a bit higher. I would have to do that for the whole year to see how that will affect the permanence that we will achieve. But I'm happy if we override the set points if we have to in order to save energy. So try to use the components of the system that consume more energy less than those that consume less energy. If dehumidification is our main consumption, then do less of that and try to gain permanence doing the ones that like lowering humidity if that costs less. As I said, this was just a conversation that I had with him last week, and we thought he doesn't know if the BMS can be programmed like this. I don't know if that will have a beneficial effect in terms of permanence for the collection or not, but we can definitely do the maths and see how that goes. It could potentially be something that we can go back to the building environment simulation project and try it on the simulation and see what would have happened before we implement it here. But all I wanted to suggest is that there's still some room to play around with what the set points should be, what the dead band should be that will have a beneficial effect on energy consumption. I think that's it from me.